Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba, 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 ooba. Scuba, dooba, hooba, hobba. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba dooba. Scuba diver. Scuba dooba. Dooba, hooba. Hooba, dooba, scuba, hooba. Scuba, scuba.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're on the Virgin Voyage cruise ship, the Scarlet Lady, which, by the way, is their first cruise ship from Richard Branson. He waved to us and said hi, by the way, from the other cruise ship that passed by. There's the Captain Slate dive recall system. Yeah. They just activated that, by the way. Yeah, that famous burp, we have that on tape. And years ago, I'd say probably about 10, 15 years ago, we almost got kicked off radio stations.
Yes.
Because we were having fun playing with Captain Slate's recall system and playing his burp over and over on the show. And there was a radio station, I think they were in Alaska, God bless them. But they called up after one of our shows and we're doing this, like, what the hell's wrong with you people? Keep burping on the radio. And we're going to take your show off the air. And I had to kiss some serious butt. But I explained to him, like, we don't do it every week, just when Captain Slate's on with us. And there's reasons for that, right?
Well, you know, it is my recall, and I use it on our boat every day.
Yeah, I remember we did that AquaCat trip. Correct. Years ago, and it was like a trip like this. Yeah. Similar, we had Neil, we had Captain Wall, we had Captain Slate. It was one of Captain Slate's first liveaboard opportunities, I think. And we got on this boat, and all of a sudden, we'd be walking around the dive bed. Hey, there's Slate. Okay. And it was great.
I think I had the best recall system of any of them.
Oh, you did?
I had an underwater speaker, and I could play music on it. And I tell the people to be back on the board at 50 minutes past the hour or 45 minutes past the hour. If they were 1 minute late, I'd just turn on the theme from Jaws.
Right.
And they'd be skelter, helter-skelter getting back on that boat.
Yes, yeah. You know, Cam Walt had a very famous dive boat called the Dry Martini. Super famous in South Florida because he only hired hot babes to work the boat, like, and there were models and everything, and it was crazy. Right. He would have these underwater speakers and play Scuba Radio.
That's right.
And he'd call up and play some games, and we had a few encounters like that. You remember that?
Actually, Slate and I were supposed to do a memorable dive. We were supposed to dive the Andrea Doria together, and unfortunately, Slate was in the chamber in the Keys when we were doing the Andrea Doria, so he missed that one, which was probably a good one.
I got bent 2 days before we left.
Yeah.
One guy didn't make it on that. You had to go down.
One of Slate's best friends, John Ornsby.
My dive buddy, John Ornsby, did not. Yeah, he died on that dive, first time.
And Fracy was on a dive with you, right?
Yep.
Well, we have lost a bunch over the years. I know you guys even more than I, but a matter of fact, we're bringing our buddy Jerry Beatty over to Bimini with us, and we're going to have a little thing there for our friend. But you know, when you you know, do things like Walt did back in the day, and he would play these he'd play Scuba Radio on the underwater speakers, and he'd call up, and we got to know him that way. I met him face to face for the first time in the Bahamas, and it was at one of Neil's drip parties.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Dive resort industry party.
Drip, but I renamed it the Divers Really Intoxicated Party because it turned into a crazy, crazy lost weekend. But I never forget. It was the first time I actually got to hang face to face with the infamous Captain Walt, and I'm in line for the breakfast buffet, and I remember looking over at Neil and Walt were having their breakfast. They had already sat down. I see Walt reach down into his pocket and pull out a flask and pour something into his coffee. I'm like, What are you doing there, Walt? And he goes, well, you can't drink all day if you don't start first thing in the morning.
That's true.
And I've never forgot that. That's just how you roll. Or was that Gomez? I don't know. That might have been.
I think that was Mr. Gomez.
That might have been. I don't know. I didn't really know about Gomez and Julio back then, but I guess they were still around, or they were around. They just hadn't introduced themselves officially to me at that point. But yeah, I knew, okay, Captain Walt's a professional. So I figured if I need to learn about rum, I know who to go to, and Walt educated me accordingly. So I learned about rum from the infamous Captain Walt DeMartini. So, and here we are all these years later, still talking. That's something, isn't it?
That is, man.
That's right.
Surviving another one.
Surviving or tolerating, you know, my nonsense. Yeah, can you believe that we've been doing this for so long, Neil? I mean, just in my little window, you've been doing it 50 years plus, but I've been doing it almost 30.
Making 6 months, and here we still are.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what. Yeah, was it Slate that you called back in the day about Scuba Radio? So I had you on the air, and we did a little, and I had a little chat with you, and we did an interview, and then I wanted to get Captain Slade on you, and I said, could you call him for me? And you said what?
I don't care. I said, you know, he's a really nice kid, and I wish him all the luck in the world. But this ain't going to fly. This, I don't mean giving up his day job.
Yeah, this ain't going to work. But he kept that to himself for a few years before he let all the air out of my balloon. But yeah, then we had Captain Slade on. I couldn't believe I had this guy that, you know, fed fish with his face. And you were telling me on the boat just last night that you didn't start this. You've been doing this. I mean, you've been doing the Barracuda thing and putting the Ballyhoo in your teeth for how long? But there was another guy who started it and had been doing it for how long before that?
Well, I say he's one of my mentors when I came to Key Largo and opened the shop in 78.
And that was who?
Steve Klim.
Okay.
And he started diving right after he got out of the military in 1954 and started feeding the critters. Every dive he got in the water, he had a six-pack boat. And he was called the Pied Piper of Penny Camp Park because he was in Key Largo before it was Penny Camp Park.
Right.
And in fact, he was one of the leaders in preserving that area. And one of the things they tried to do was to stop him from doing it. And he wouldn't. And he didn't. And they left him alone. So he fed from 54 until I came down in 78. And he was in it. 60s, and he told me we befriended each other, and he said, Slate, you really like this, because I'd go out and watch him with my group, and he would say, you got to take it over. I don't like diving in the winter anymore. I said, Roger, over and out. I'm doing it. And that's where it started, from Steve Klim.
Wow. And why did he start it? Did just because he thought it would be a cool, like, circus kind of thing that would attract people, or he just loved the animals, or do you know?
Just loved the animals. He actually wrote two books, softback books, called Taming the Untamed, about feeding the critters underwater, and has love for them. And it's just loads of stuff of history of him. And of course, I have the books, and he was a hero of mine. And when I met him, like Neil, I thought, man, and he would go out of the same arena I did, and I would take my divers, my boats, and anchor and watch him. And like I said, I'd dive every dive with him, but I didn't do the feeding until he said, you got to start doing the feeding, and I didn't hesitate.
Yeah, anyway, and you did it, and you got bit pretty quickly, you told me. And what did he say the first time you got nibbled on by a barracuda or something?
Well, for years, we never wore gloves, any gloves. And I would get bitten a lot. And I would come into there's a little bar restaurant next door that his in the marina, and I would come in all bandaged up, and he would just have a fit laughing at me.
no sympathy at all, right? He was just like, okay, look, we're going to get off the boat, head over to Bimini, one of my favorite islands on the planet. I'm going to be hanging with the Aqua Gypsy as well as Captain Walt, or it probably will be Gomez or Julio at that point. But that's coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Special edition. Stay close.
If you be pressurized there, you'll want to be there on Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.